Afternoon, welcome back. 5:06, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Let's see if producer Ann Wogue took time out of her busy schedule to make the phone call to Jeff Cooner tonight. Hello, Jeff.
Andy, I called her. I called in. I said, Ann, did you forget me again? Actually, no. She actually called earlier than usual. We had a nice chat on the phone. But I was telling her, really, I said, look, I know how mesmerizing Andy is. And I bet you guys are probably chatting away during the commercial break, and you realize, son of a gun, it's 5:06. I got to call that maniac Cooner. Get him on the phone.
Oh, man. All right, I checked out your column today, and it's good as it normally is. Obama made Libya safe for terrorists. I think you're onto something there.
Andy, it's not just me. It's senior Republicans have now been telling me all day today that this is what many of them are now concluding. And what I believe is now going to develop over the next couple weeks, and should Obama win re-election over the next couple months, is I believe Libya will be his Watergate. It is very eerily similar to the way Watergate hung over the 1972 election. Nobody thought it was that big a deal. There was noise about it in the background. And then it grew and grew and spread like a cancer until it devoured the presidency. When you look at what we're now finding out, in particular, our intelligence services and high-ranking intelligence officials have now confirmed to me, to key people at the Washington Times, to Fox News, and to other outlets, that within 24 hours of the attack on our compound, in which Ambassador Chris Stevens was murdered, three other officials were murdered, that Obama, the administration, was told, and they knew it was a terrorist attack. They knew it was planned. They knew it was premeditated. They knew it was a coordinated attack. In fact, it had been months in the making. The Libyan government came out and said it was a terrorist attack, that the anti-Muslim video had nothing to do with this attack. It was nothing more than a smokescreen. Which means this, Andy. When Obama gave his interview to 60 Minutes, when Obama went to that fundraiser in Las Vegas, when Obama went on The View, when UN Ambassador Susan Rice did the talk show rounds, when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton made one public statement after another, when Jay Carney told the press corps for nearly a week that this was a spontaneous protest driven by an anti-Muslim video, they were lying. They were lying, and they knew that they were lying. They were engaged in a systematic cover-up. And as I point out in the column, I touch on it today, but I'm going to develop it in next week's column. This is worse than Watergate, and I'll tell you why. Say what you want about Nixon's crimes, the abuse of power, the lying, the systematic cover-up. Nobody died. Nobody died or was killed as a result of Watergate. But here, because the president refused to bolster security at the compound. As we know from Ambassador Stevens' recovered diary, he states in his own words, he is petrified for his life, he fears for the lives of his staff and colleagues. As Republicans now sense and are highly suspicious in those diplomatic cables that were sent personally by Ambassador Stevens to senior members of the State Department, the very cables that the State Department now refuses to release, Stevens was begging to leave the compound. At a minimum, he was begging for more security personnel to be brought in. They were left twisting in the wind. They were left hung out to dry. They were left completely vulnerable and exposed to the jihadists that Ambassador Stevens himself says in his diary were roaming everywhere across Benghazi and across Libya. And this means this, Andy. Not only did we betray our personnel, not only did we allow these men to be killed, to be raped, forgive me, I know it's a family show, but that he was gay. Ambassador Stevens was gay, and in retaliation, he was sodomized. All of this took place. The Al-Qaeda flag was erected on top of our flag. And the president not only did nothing to help them, he covered it up and deliberately lied to the American people. And the reason why the press corps will not touch this story or treat it with the serious depth and investigation that it deserves is because the president now has American blood on his hands, blood that he cannot wash away. And finally and ultimately, the president took us to war in Libya without asking for approval from Congress, without having the legal basis to do so, ignoring the will of the American people. This was an unconstitutional, illegal, immoral war. And when we toppled Muammar Gaddafi, what the Obama administration did, aided by NATO, was that they armed, equipped, and sent our CIA advisors to train the anti-Gaddafi rebels. We knew then, I warned about it then, but we definitely know now. Many of those rebels were hardened jihadists who had infiltrated Iraq for years, who had used IEDs against our troops, murdered American troops. They were affiliated with Al-Qaeda, affiliated with the Taliban. They were Islamist radicals who raided Gaddafi's stockpile weapons, and those are the very same Islamic terrorists who raided our compound, killed our officials, tore down our flag, and committed a terrorist atrocity against our people here and in other embassies across the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, this is worse than Watergate. And if Obama wins re-election, he cannot sweep this scandal under the rug. I believe Republicans should impeach him. This is a high crime and misdemeanor. I believe they will. If we retain the House, if the Republicans retain the House, this story is not going to go away. And my only question is this. Who will be the senior Democratic senator? Who will be the equivalent of Barry Goldwater in 1974 who has to walk to the president's desk in the Oval Office and say, Mr. President, we can no longer defend the indefensible. It is time for you to go. And that's why I think Obama's days are numbered. Even if he wins the election, he will have to leave office. So to me, the sooner, the better.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting. We watched for a solid week almost the Obama administration and, through Biden and others, you know, tout the fact that GM was alive and Osama bin Laden was dead. And, of course, that signaled that was the one feather in the cap of Obama, according to the left, you know, that he took care of the terrorist element in the world. Al-Qaeda had been shut down. And here we go just a couple of weeks later. We've got Al-Qaeda doing their thing, and it proved to be quite an embarrassment for Obama, and I think that's one of the reasons he won't open his mouth and admit it.
You nailed it, Andy. That's why he's covering it up. Al-Qaeda is spreading across Libya. It has expanded across Libya. It's become a haven for Al-Qaeda, a haven for jihadists. It has metastasized into Somalia, into Yemen, into Pakistan, into large parts of Afghanistan. They're now seeping into Syria. Contrary to everything he said at the DNC, Al-Qaeda has not been degraded. In fact, it is gaining steam. The Taliban is on the verge of routing us, defeating us. We're about to be leaving with our tail between our legs in Afghanistan. This man has been a phony and a fraud for the last 3.5 years, and his war in Libya, as his mentor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, would say, are the chickens coming home to roost. And now there are 4 Americans dead,
yep.
And Andy, he can't wash this one away. And it is a specter that will haunt him throughout October, and if he wins, for the rest of the second term, and I believe it will be his fatal undoing.
Yep. All right, folks, if you haven't checked it out, Jeff's column is in today's Washington Times, Obama Made Libya Safe for Terrorists. My friend, have a good weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
God bless you, Andy.
Take care. There he goes.